Well, I hope you've all had a great Christmas. I have. And I noticed there was a good number coming on the party, which is going to be good. It's a good number still to book in if you want to come. It'd be great to see you. And we're looking forward to celebrating the end of this year and the beginning of next year. The last hour will be a praise party, so we're looking forward to that. And then for those which are able to stay, we're going to pray into the new year too. So it'll be a holistic occasion with fun, food, prayer, praise. It'll be a good time together. So that's on the 31st. But we're still pressing on. As you can see from the title of my talk today, in fact, I'm going to refer to a verse in Nehemiah first of all, although my main text comes a little bit later from Philippians. But I've been reading through the Bible in a year, and I got to this verse on Christmas Eve from Nehemiah chapter 1. Verse 3 says this: "They said to me," Nehemiah had been asking about the report he'd heard from Jerusalem. "They said to me, 'Those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire.' When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Nicky Gumbel comments, "Nehemiah's situation was not dissimilar to our own. The church in this country is in great trouble and disgrace. It seems to have been devastated and is regarded as irrelevant or as an object of scorn." I was challenged by those words as I was reading the commentary by Nicky Gumbel. Nehemiah was reported, it was reported back to Nehemiah that Jerusalem was in a state of ruins. And Nicky Gumbel was saying we could use that same picture to describe the church in this country. And I was thinking about that because I believe with all my heart that the local church is the hope of the world. And there are many churches which are shining lights in their communities and in their towns and in their cities. And I hope we are. Or if we're not, I hope we will become one very soon. But the overall picture in the UK is much less positive. This is what Lord Carey said: "The Church of England is just one generation away from extinction." He's the former Archbishop of Canterbury. He laid the blame at the feet of church leaders who he said should be ashamed of their failure to bring youngsters into their services. So this is coming from somebody who was Archbishop of Canterbury. He himself thinks that the Church of England is just one generation away from extinction. I read a recent statistic applied to churches in America. I wouldn't be surprised if it's very similar to churches in the UK. The statistic said that 85% of churches in the US have plateaued. 85% have stopped growing. 14% of the churches in the US are growing, but they're growing through transfer growth. In other words, from people from other churches which are joining them. And just 1% are growing through reaching the lost and winning souls. That should give us some concern. I think Nicky Gumbel's right. What Nehemiah portrays, that picture we have of Jerusalem, can be seen as a picture of the church in our country. Now, I'm going to end on a good note. I'm just giving you the bad news to start with, all right? Secularism is on the rise. The gay agenda is powerful. They probably represent the same percentage as evangelical Christians in our country. 2 or 3% gays, 2 or 3% evangelical Christians. But their influence is far greater than that of the Christian church. Christian values are being relegated in our country. Marriage is being compromised. Political correctness is in danger of getting many of us into trouble. Just because we happen to believe the truths of the Bible, orthodox Christian truth, and if we proclaim it too loudly, We have to be careful that there won't be court cases against us. That's the sort of society we're living in. So on the last Sunday of this year, a little bit of a reality check for us all. The church in the UK is in trouble. And as Nicky Gumbel comments, by and large, it's either considered irrelevant, out of date, or an object of scorn. We need to pray, church. We need to pray for the people of God. We need to pray for the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's a good man, Justin Welby. He's already made pronouncements and statements which are going to challenge some of the Church of England's view on things. I just hope and pray he's allowed to do what he feels called by God to do. We need to pray for the Pope. He's not a good man. I've been really impressed with some of the press and some of the statements which he's been making too. Two men which have big influence on Christians across this world. We need to catch the same heart that Nehemiah had when he heard about the disgrace of Jerusalem. We need to call out to God for a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. Fresh conviction. Fresh power. Fire from heaven, which burns within our hearts and souls. Without his life, without his love, without his power, the church will never be what we're destined to be. So I want to say we mustn't settle for anything less, LifeSpring, than what God's called us to be. Am I downcast? No. Am I losing faith? No. Do I think the church will rise again and be a shining light in this land? Yes, of course I do. Do I think LifeSpring can make a difference? Yes, I do really believe we can. So on this last Sunday, although I appreciate the enormous challenges which we face, and as we go into 2014, I go in with faith and confidence in a God that loves Europe, a God that loves the UK, a God that loves Reading, a God that loves his church, which includes you and me. And I really believe if we can just find it in our hearts to say yes to God, putting him first in our lives, if we determine to live for him, we can expect to see much fruit. We can expect to make a big difference in this town and in this nation. Amen. One of the things I noticed about Nehemiah's prayer was that he included himself in the repentance. I'll bring the prayer up in a moment or two, but he was humble enough to realize that he wasn't completely sorted either. And you know, we can't point the finger at anyone. We may not agree theologically with everybody. We may not enjoy their particular style of church. Maybe in some ways we feel we are maybe not in such a bad way after all. But I ask the question, who are we comparing ourselves to? When Jackie and I first went to a church in Bogota, we felt like we were hardly saved. The church in the New Testament turned the whole city upside down within a few years. Do you know what? There are over 100 churches in Reading, and most of the town seems totally unaffected by our witness. So we can't point the finger. We need to be like Nehemiah. And this is what he prayed. He said, Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We've acted very wickedly toward you. We've not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. And as I read that, I thought, Nehemiah, he was an upright man. Nehemiah was doing the best he could in a foreign land. Actually, he was promoted to a high position. He was serving the king. He himself was not the person that caused the downfall of Jerusalem. He himself was not responsible for the state of Jerusalem. And yet, as a fellow Israelite, he included himself in the need of repentance. And as we consider the church in our land, I think we need to also do the same thing. It's not us and them. We're in a mess. We need God to move. We need to call on the Holy Spirit, call on him to come and touch the church again. But that's a little bit of a backdrop, if you like. The scripture I want to focus on today, and I'm going to paint a bit more of a brighter picture, I think, is from Philippians chapter 3. Second part of verse 12 says this: I press on to take hold of all of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of all of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I like this last little phrase: all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. In other words, if we consider ourselves Christians, mature Christians, we also should have that same attitude that Paul had. And as we come to the end of this year, for me, it's a matter of saying, thank you, Lord, for 2013. What an incredible year it's been. Your faithfulness has been incredible. You are amazing. Thank you for all the good things. Thank you for helping me through all the bad things. But now I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to look forward to 2014. And I'm going to press on into all that you've got hold of me for, because I haven't seen it all yet. 2013 wasn't the end, but 2014 is the beginning of the rest of my life. And Paul says we should all have that sort of view on things. So I want to paint something of the bigger picture, because it's easy to get tunnel vision and just to see our little church, our little patch. And I've talked about the church being in a mess, but you know, there's some glorious exceptions in our land too. And I would just want to mention some of those. I thank God for HTB, Holy Trinity Brompton. I thank God for the incredible growth, that Anglican church in the centre of London, the influence it's had in the capital and across this nation. I thank God for Hillsong. Thousands, is it 10,000 now or so, meeting in London and other plants across this country and across Europe too. There's a number of black churches in London. They gather 20,000 people to pray through the night, praying for this nation, praying for the church, praying for the government. Thank God for the black churches which have come to our land. If it wasn't for them, the whole church would be in major decline. But their numbers, in some ways, they've sort of, affected the statistics, because the church is growing in London and it's not growing in any other part of the country. Thank God for them. Thank God for New Frontiers. Amazing bunch of people. We've got two new Frontiers churches in Reading. Reading Family Church has probably seen the biggest growth in numbers in the last few years here in Reading. They have a vision to plant over 1,000 churches across this land. And they're well on their way to planting those churches. Thank God for them. I love it. Pioneer. Bless them, Lord. We're part of Pioneer, if you didn't know. Pioneer, they're doing a brilliant job. And they've connected up with some Methodists, with a Methodist church. And the Methodists had plans to close 4,000 churches. It's in the next, 12 years. And Pioneer said to them, well, if we could help work with you, maybe we could save 10%. Maybe there's 400 churches which would have closed, which we can come. You've got the buildings, we've got the people. Let's make some sort of connection. And the Methodist said yes. And across this land, there's amazing stories of how churches which would have closed are now meeting with Pioneer folks and Methodist folks, and they're just reaching out into their communities. Praise God. Light in darkness. It's not all bad news. Thank God for Spring Harvest. Never ever been there. It's been going on for a couple of decades. Thousands go, though. Thank God for New Wine, Soul Survivor, Momentum, attracting thousands. Every year, thousands of young people and others gather into those events. You see, there is a light shining. Overall, it's not a brilliant picture, but praise God for these and many others which I'm sure we could mention too. Hallelujah. HTB's Leadership Conference. If four venues across London were required to host it last year because there were so many people wanting to go, and they were still turning people away. Thank God. Thank God for life. And I don't really want to mention it in the same group, but LifeSpring Church too. You know, I am going to mention LifeSpring Church. There is life, and it's springing up. And I thank God for all that he's done over this last year. I thank God for this building. Every week we seem to thank God for it at some time or another. And why not? And why not? It's absolutely been amazing. This time last year we weren't here. And now we are. And we've been here every week since Easter. Praise the Lord. He's good. He's faithful. Many have given into the church. Impossible projects have become possible because of the generosity. It's not just the offering on Sunday. It's not just the offering 1 month. In 2011, in 2012, in 2013, hundreds of thousands have been given to get this place. Praise the Lord. And we've already mentioned it. And I don't know if John, he is here, John Kirtley. A kitchen has come as well. Through the regular giving of the church. It wouldn't have been possible without it. And I think God is faithful, and God is faithful, but it's expressed through the people here. It's expressed through your giving and through your generosity, his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Impossible projects have become possible. And that was a prophecy which we were given many years ago, that we would give and give and give. Praise the Lord. We had an amazing Christmas at the Pavilion. I was hoping to have some more pictures, but I couldn't find them. But we had an amazing time, carols on the steps, on the Saturday before Christmas. Thank you, Malk and Keith, for just pulling that together. A good number there, pouring with rain. And yet people stopped, and I was on the other side giving out leaflets and flyers, and the sound was brilliant, and it was great, and there were mince pies, and there was coffee. We were reaching out into the local community and passers-by. And then our Christmas carol service, Christmas concert, I think we should have called it, really. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Penny. Thank you, Jackie, for helping pull that together. And then Christmas Eve. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, James Rosser, for putting on something down there in the foyer on Christmas Eve. Maybe 40 or so people came. It was absolutely brilliant to have some traditional carols over Christmas. And then Boxing Day, Sylvia and John and family and others. And it was brilliant. And, you know, you didn't have to go to every one of those. You could just go to which one you wanted to. But the church put it on all over Christmas. The community was reached out to. I dropped in on Boxing Day. There were people coming in off the street. There were people that didn't have anywhere else to go to. They were having a bacon sandwich. Well, it wasn't a bacon roll. They were having mince pies. There was coffee available. It was just brilliant just to see the church in action and reaching out. And that's what we're here for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've seen people come and join us from the area. You are very, very welcome. We've seen different nationalities come and join us. You are very welcome too. And you enrich us with your presence and with the different cultures which you bring. We've had baptisms in the river. We've had baptisms here in the Pavilion. We've had people being saved. We've had cells which have grown over this last year. We've had conferences here. We've had worship nights. We have youth nights. Toddlers moved in a few months ago. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Hey, didn't you know that? You ought to drop along, Kim. We have so much to be grateful for. One of our special things, well, certainly for me, was the opening with Pastor Caesar. 7th of July, a special time when the mayor came and the MP came, and we were able to open the Pavilion here officially. And there he was cutting the ribbon, and different people invited to speak. You know, all of these guys gave up their time. All of these guys gave up their time just to come and be with us. They were honored to be asked. And I'm amazed. They're amazed at this place. They're amazed what we've done. And so am I. But I thank God for Pastor Wes, for Joel, for Mike Pusey there, who've given so much to us. And, of course, these guys as well, who came and shared the word from Colombia. People were impressed when they came. And there he is, our pastor, Pastor Caesar, on the opening day here. It was a great time. God has been so good. And I could go on and on and on. But Paul says, forgetting what's behind, let's move on. Forgetting the good things as well as the bad things. Let's move on, because there's still more which we need to obtain. Yes, so much good, so much accomplished. And I realize for some, 2013 may be a more difficult year for you personally. But I want to encourage you to leave 2013 behind so that we can go into 2014 with confidence in God. This was one of the sadder notes for me saying goodbye to Andy. Doesn't look very sad there, does he? In fact, I don't think he is sad at all. He's enjoying himself. And I see him regularly, and he comes in for a coffee, and we have a chat, and he's doing really, really well. But I miss Andy. I wished he was still here. But, in the Lord's provision, he's moved on to help that poor church struggling on the other side of town, Reading Family Church, But and there's people which have left, and there's people which have come. But there's been some more difficult situations that some of us have had to face through this year. I just want to ask us, it's time to draw a line. It's time to move on. Let's not take 2013 into 2014. But, drawing a line isn't as simple as it sounds. We can't just say, 31st of December, right, that's that. Now my emotions are all completely different. I'm a new person completely. And 2014 is going to... The years help us. But nothing particularly changes from one hour to the next, does it? It's the years which help us make those decisions. But I want to say, draw that line and move on. And for some, it'll mean different things. For some, that will require prayer and ministry. There's things which have happened this year which have not been easy to deal with. Well, there's prayer and there's ministry available. For some of you, you need to take that opportunity. Because if you don't, you're going to take 2013 with you into 2014. But you don't have to. Marika just shared in a testimony something which happened quite a few years ago then. And yet, she's leaving that behind in 2013. She could have taken that into 2014 and still have those difficulties and those struggles. But she's made a choice. She went for a sozo. She received prayer. She received ministry. God's moved in. God's dealt with stuff. Now she can leave that behind and move on. That can apply to each and every one of us. But we need to take that opportunity. Others of us, we need to change our mindset. That's what repentance is, by the way. Changing our mindset. Thinking differently. We've got a choice. We could think like we always thought, or we could begin to take God's thoughts and think his way. And God's pretty positive, And we need to be more positive in the way that we think about people, about church, about him, about life. Change our mind. Don't dwell on those past things. Don't dwell on the bad, but look to the good and find what God's doing. Some of us, it means repentance. It means changing a change of mindset. For others of us, in order to draw that line, we need to apologize and we need to forgive and or receive forgiveness. You want to draw that line? You want to move on? Let's just ask the Lord, are there people I need to apologize to? Am I still affected by stuff which has happened? Have I upset people which I need to deal with? Let's be gracious. Let's apologize and let's forgive so that we can move on. Others of us, we need to put down offense. I heard somebody say the other day, we keep talking about this at LifeSpring. Do we? I keep hearing people are offended at LifeSpring. And if you keep being offended and don't deal with it, 2014 is going to be just as bad as 2013. But if you can deal with it, if you can deal with those offenses, don't take offense, put it down, receive grace, release forgiveness, the whole year could be totally different. We have a choice to make. Draw that line. Say, I refuse to be offended. I was upset. I've forgiven. I've released forgiveness and grace. I can embrace and I can hug. And I'm in a good place again because I've dealt with those situations in my life. Let it go. Don't take these things into 2014. Otherwise, it will spoil your year. And some of these things aren't always easy to deal with. And none of these things I can do for you. We all have to deal with them on our own. We have to make that decision. We have to make that choice. Don't pretend it won't make any difference. You need to deal with them. And if we deal with them, we can go on. And I was just about to close, and I was thinking, and gossip. That's a bit early yet, Kim. And gossip. Talking about others, it needs to stop too. No more gossip. I was challenged a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to a director in the church about some of the difficult situations we were facing, and I wanted his advice. And you know, sometimes it's not always easy to know what is gossip and what needs to be said and what doesn't need to be said. And the director said to me, he said, you've been very open with me, Nev. And I said, well, I can be because of your role. You know, you need to know so that we can work through and deal with what we need to be dealing with. And then he said to me this. He said, you've always been like that with me, though, even before I was a director, because you're an open person. There was no criticism meant, but I felt challenged. I thought, what have I said before? Had I gossiped in the past? Had I said things I shouldn't have? I do try to be careful what I say. You know, if Jackie and I are talking about a thing, you know, might be in the kitchen there, and a member of the family comes in, I say, no, Jackie, shh, 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 you know, or a mum turns up, shh, you know, they don't need to know. You know, I don't want people to think bad about anybody or to know, I don't want to hang out our dirty washing in public, you know. I'm a bit careful like that. But I was challenged. I just think, maybe I've said more than I should have done at other times. Maybe you have too. We've got to deal with it, haven't we? No more gossip. No more gossip. We have to stop. We have to be careful. Choose to speak well of each other or keep quiet. So as we go into 2014, I'm going with confidence in God. The good of 2013 is a good memory. I'm grateful and I'm thankful. But Paul said, let's leave that behind. Forget what's behind, we press on. And I just want to share with you a conversation I had on Christmas Eve dinner. Peter Hannigan, he was sitting around the table, and he said, what are your goals for 2014? There were about 10 of us around the table. So we went through. Some he didn't like, and some he accepted. Some he thought people were going on for too long, but others he listened to. And when he got to me, I thought, well, I've not really thought this through. What was my goal? I said, I'd like to see 100 souls in 2014. You see, the pavilion's wonderful. People are very excited for us. But give me souls. The pavilion is here to win souls and to make a difference in this town. You see, Paul says, I do not consider myself yet having taken hold of everything. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, all the good, all the souls that we've seen saved, all the people that have been baptized, all the cells which are growing, as well as the ones which aren't, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards that goal to win the prize for which God's called me for. And I want to ask, can you join me in that goal? I've not discussed this with leaders, not even discussed it with Jackie, actually. Pete asked us around the table. I thought, well, I'd like to see 100 souls. I'd like to see 100 souls saved. And I'm thinking New Testament saved, all right? Not 100 hands going up over the year. I'm thinking New Testament saved. What's that? That means it's a, well, there we are, 100 souls. That means it's 100 repenting, turning away from their old way of living and turning to God. That's what salvation's about. It's an incredible gift to us. I would love to see that. People don't just continue in the way of life which they've lived for their last number of years. God comes into their life. They decide to turn away from there and live for him. That's what repentance is all about. I want to see 100 people baptized. Not quite sure where we're going to do that. But you know, it's not like an option. It's like I've repented. I've turned to God. I'm giving him my life. I want him to be Lord of my life. Don't understand it, nor do I. But I'm going to get wet. I'm going to go down in the waters of baptism because he's my master. He's my king. And I'm going to do it now. Amen. New Testament. I want to see 100 people filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm tired of seeing people trying to live this Christian life, trying to be good, trying to be a witness. You can't. We need him. We need that empowering. We need him to come upon us and fill us, put that fire in our hearts, put that passion in our souls. I want to see 100 people filled with the Holy Spirit. All New Testament, I want to see 100 people added to church. I don't want to see people in the bus stop saying, yes, I give my life to the Lord, and we never see them again. I want to see them in a cell. I want to see them here on Sunday. I want to see them reaching out and serving. I want to see them involved. That's what it was in the New Testament. Day of Pentecost, 3,000 people repented, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and added to the church. That's my goal. Will you join me in that? Can we believe God for salvations? Can we believe God for souls? That's what this building is for. Lovely building, but fill it up with sinners, Lord. Fill it up with people that yet don't know him. That's what I'm going for. I'm going for 100 people being won, consolidated, discipled, and sent, so they can continue this work. It's New Testament. Amen? I'm pressing on. I want you to press on with me too. That's why we have this building. That's why we're starting 2014 with a sanctification week. It's not, oh, that's just a nice thing to do. It's just want to win souls. So we want to see change in our lives. We need to change. If we change, everything changes. Change your mindset, you'll think quite differently about everything else too. That's why we're having a sanctification week. Next week, I want to begin to talk about, three different C's. The words beginning with C, which I think are important. And none of them are evangelizing. But I'm thinking, this is the foundation for us. If we're going to be obedient to what God's called us to, then we need to have these things in our lives too. So I'm excited about this next year. I believe 2013, in some ways, was probably our most significant year so far. Certainly corporately and with regards to the building and everything else, I believe 2014 can be a year of growth, numerically and influentially, in Jesus' name. So as the church, in general terms, in the UK, seems to have lost its way, my prayer is that there are exceptions in this town of Reading, and we are one of those exceptions who shine brightly for King Jesus in Reading and the UK. You're going to join me in that vision? Let's forget the past, all the good and the bad. Paul, come up and play your piano, please. Let's forget the past and let's press on to all that God has got hold of us for. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me. If you'd like to stand, please. You know, the vision needs a response, doesn't it? I believe God's got incredible plans and purposes way beyond which we understand. I'm going to go on the healing encounter in January. I tend to go every year on something like that because I know stuff comes in. And I know if I allow stuff to remain, I'm not going to be fruitful. If I don't deal with stuff that comes into my life, and we don't need to wait for a healing encounter, I know that, but sometimes the stuff that comes in that I'm unaware of, and an opportunity like that weekend will just give me the opportunity to sit, to listen, to receive, to ask the Lord to shine his light. The sanctification week coming up has a similar sort of purpose. Lord, we're coming, we're gathering. We don't want to become inward looking, but we've got a vision to reach the lost. We've got a vision to reach souls. Change us. It's not just a matter of having vision, you see. You can have all the vision in the world, but unless you deal with stuff that the Lord brings up, that vision will just remain out there. But he wants us to be involved with him in bringing it about. So I'm going to pray a prayer. And in it, there's some phrases of intent, choosing to forget what's behind, choosing to release offense, choosing to release forgiveness. As we pray this prayer through, I want to ask you to take it seriously. The more healed up we are, the more whole we are, the more fruitful we will be. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your love and faithfulness. Thank you for all that you helped us accomplish in 2013. We just have the keys down a bit. As we draw near to the end of this year, help us to draw a line in our lives. 2013 is almost gone. 2014 is almost here. I choose to forget what is behind. I release offense. I release forgiveness. I release grace. I'm sorry for when I've gossiped, for when I've been overly critical, for speaking words that undermine rather than build up. Help me to change. Give me the grace to keep pressing on, to fulfill all you have purposed for me in 2014, so that you receive much glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with a hymn. Jackie, are you going to pick it up, or do you want me to?